the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. The epistle lesson for this Sunday, Rogate, the fifth Sunday after Easter, is found recorded in the epistle or letter of the Apostle James, chapter 1, verses 22 to 27, and reads as follows. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widow in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Here endeth the epistle lesson. Let's now sing hymn 408. Thank you. The gospel lesson for this Sunday is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 16, verses 23 to 30, and reads as follows. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed, as this is found on page 12 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Thank you.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, the words of our text for today were spoken by Jesus to his disciples on the night of his betrayal. Those disciples were going to be experiencing a great deal of sadness over the next 24 hours in connection with the betrayal, the torture and crucifixion of Jesus, their dearest friend. To help build them up and prepare them for what they were going to have to go through over the next hours, Jesus in our text for today speaks to them very comforting words. And it was important that they take those words to heart. As it is likewise important for you and me also to take these words to heart, so that we too may be strengthened by the Lord in all of the trials and afflictions under which we must walk in this earthly life. Let us therefore, on the basis of our text for today, ponder in our hearts the great comfort given to believers through Christ Jesus. In the first place, we shall consider the comfort that the Lord answers our prayers. Secondly, that the Lord dwells within us. And thirdly, that the Lord loves us in Christ Jesus. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. The ecclesiastical name for this fifth Sunday after Easter is Rogate, which is the Latin verb in the imperative form meaning ask. And it is a reference to the Lord's very frequent command and invitation in the scriptures to his believing children to bring their requests before him in prayer, to ask him for things. You may have noticed in the gospel lesson for today that the verb ask appeared six times. That is why this Sunday is called Rogate. Likewise, we see in the first two verses of our text for today, the Lord Jesus encourages his disciples and his Christians of all time to ask him for things, to pray in his name. Praying in his name simply means to pray with faith in him as our Redeemer. We read in the first two verses, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." We pray in Jesus' name, as our text says, because we ourselves are unworthy to come before the Lord with our requests and expect a favorable answer from Him. However, trusting in Jesus' merits, trusting in Him in whom we have the forgiveness of all our sins, we may indeed come boldly to the throne of His grace. And that is why we do not pray in our own name, but in Jesus' name, as He teaches us here. You may have also noticed in the first two verses of our text that Jesus says that He Himself is the one who will answer our prayers. This is yet another proof of Jesus' true deity, that He is true God. For who but God is able to answer the prayers of His followers? And notice here too that Jesus says, when He answers our prayers, it brings glory to the Heavenly Father. The Father is glorified in the Son. Whatever serves the glory of one person of the Trinity serves the glory of every person of the Godhead, all three, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. When you and I were brought to saving faith by the power of the Holy Ghost, He created in us a new man, enabling us to do God-pleasing works. This work of God within us is what we call sanctification in the narrower sense. This is what Jesus demands of all those who follow Him in love, as He says in the next verse of our text. If ye love Me, keep My commandments. Notice here that it is love for God, which is motivated by the gospel, and not fear of His wrath, which would be motivated by the threats of the law, that move us to keep God's commandments, to hold His commandments cherished in our hearts, and thus also follow them in our lives. And how exactly does God require that we keep His commandments? Well, God's law says, perfectly. In the Gospel according to St. Matthew, Jesus says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. But all of us have to admit that we are far from perfect. The best day that we've ever lived here on earth has been stained with much imperfection and sin. Yes, each and every day, no matter how hard we try, we fall short of God's requirements of perfection in thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. We do not love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind as we should. Very frequently, we let love for ourselves, love for the things of this world, take precedence in our heart. And then love for God and for His Word get pushed down further and further on our list of priorities. Likewise, we have not always loved our neighbor as ourselves, as God's holy law requires. But rather, on account of our flesh, we so often just think about our own wants and concerns, failing even to consider the thoughts and feelings of others. So there are indeed many areas in which we can and should make improvements. But no matter how many improvements we make, and we can improve with the help of the Holy Ghost, we will still fall short of God's command of perfection. So we cannot trust in our works for salvation. We cannot pride ourselves on our good deeds and think that that is how we're going to get to heaven. And yet, out of love for the Savior, as He says in verse 15 of our text, we do still desire to follow His commandments. Our ability to overcome sin and do that which is well-pleasing to God is only through the power of the Holy Ghost, which He works in us through the gospel. Jesus, in order that the disciples would be built up in their faith and in the fruits of faith, promised to send them the Holy Ghost, whom he calls the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, in our text for today. He says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter," that is a paraclete or advocate, "that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Concerning the Holy Ghost, Jesus here says that the unbelievers do not know him. They completely shut out their hearts to the influence of the Holy Ghost. By contrast, we Christians do know the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost dwells within us as his holy temple. The very fact that you believe in Jesus as your Savior and you have the God-pleasing desire to follow him in your life is proof of the influence of the Holy Ghost within you. For without the Holy Ghost, you could not do any of that. You couldn't even confess Jesus as your Lord without the Holy Ghost. In addition to the fact that Jesus promised to send his disciples the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, he also promised that he himself would come to the disciples for their comfort. In the next verse, we read, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Of course, God, because he is omnipresent, is everywhere, at all times, at the same time. So he's in and around every single human being on earth. But here, Jesus promises a special presence that belongs to his believing children. He's with us in a special way. He abides with us as our dear friend, as our Savior, whom we love, whom we serve, whom we rejoice to have beside us. The unbelievers do not do that. Now, the time would soon come when Jesus would remove his visible presence from the disciples. He was going to ascend into heaven. Now, he was actually not leaving them. He gave them the promise that he would be with them always, even unto the end of the world. But he did leave them visibly. He did remove his visible presence from them so that they would no longer see him with their physical eyes. And yet, by faith in him, they could still see him with their eyes of faith, the same way you and I see him by faith. And that's what Jesus describes in the next verse, where he says, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me." And in addition to all the comfort considered thus far, Jesus adds yet more. He tells the disciples in our text, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Because of Jesus' glorious resurrection from the dead, we too will have a glorious resurrection from the dead on the last day. Yes, our bodies will die, decay, return to dust. That is one of the consequences of sin that Adam and Eve brought upon themselves and the entire human race. After Adam's fall into sin, God told him, "Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." And the Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, "By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Yes, we all have sinned. Thus we all deserve to die. And yet, without any merit or worthiness in us, we Christians still have the promise of life beyond the grave. We have the promise of the gospel that just as Jesus lives and reigns to all eternity, we will live and reign with him in heaven. Through Christ, death has lost its sting. Jesus has already suffered the most dreadful wages of sin, eternal death in hell. So you and I are saved from that. Immediately when we die here on earth, our souls are taken to heaven. But eternal life in heaven is really not just for our souls. When Jesus says, "Because I live, ye shall live also," he is referencing the resurrection. Because after Jesus truly died, his body was brought back to life. And that's how it will be for you and me on the last day. Our bodies will be restored, reunited with the souls, and we'll live forever in heaven in both body and soul in the glorious presence of Christ. Of course, you and I do not have to wait for heaven to have the glorious presence of Christ with us. Christ is already dwelling in us, with us by faith, as he describes to the disciples in our text. But though the disciples at this time, at the time that Jesus spoke these words, did not really fully understand what he was telling them, they would understand it on Pentecost, which was 10 days after his ascension into heaven, when the Holy Ghost would be given to them in great abundance, and then their spiritual understanding would be dramatically increased. Jesus refers to that in the next verse of our text, where he says, "At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." And in the final verse of our text, Jesus assures us of our Heavenly Father's love. Describing Christians as those who keep God's commandments, Jesus says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." It is, of course, absolutely true that God loves every single human being on earth, even the unbelievers. But here in our text, Jesus is talking about a special kind of love that really belongs only to Christians. The love of God toward us as his believing children. And it is a mutual love, as Jesus describes here in verse 21. We love him, he loves us. Now, when Jesus says, "He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father," that should not be thought of as Jesus saying that we love him first and then he loves us in response. Because the Bible very clearly states, we love him because he first loved us. It is God's great love for us in Christ Jesus that moves us to love him in return. It is completely impossible for sinful man to first love God. As he is by nature, man is completely corrupt, spiritually blind, dead, and an enemy of God. And he can only remain in that state of enmity, hatred against God, unless the Holy Ghost changes that through the power of his word. And thankfully, that is exactly what the Holy Ghost has done for us. He's brought us to saving faith in Jesus. He's made us to trust in him as our dear Redeemer. His great love for us is shown in his redemptive work, his active obedience and his passive obedience. Again, the active obedience is Jesus keeping all of God's commandments for us as our substitute. And his passive obedience is him suffering the wages of our sins, the punishment of hell on the cross, so we could be saved from that. By faith in him, the Holy Ghost generates true love for God. And true love for God means that we must strive earnestly to follow his commandments. You'll remember earlier in our text, in verse 15, Jesus had said, If ye love me, keep my commandments. Likewise, in this last verse of our text, he says, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. By striving to follow God's commandments in our lives, we thus show that our love for God is sincere. If we would claim to love God but have no desire to obey his commandments, it would prove that we don't love him at all. Love for the Lord has to bring with it the desire to obey him and serve him, to follow his commandments. But of course, as was mentioned earlier, our service of him is never perfect. And because of our many imperfections, our service to the Lord would not even be pleasing to him if not for Christ. But again, in Christ Jesus, all of our sins are removed. Every sinful stain is washed away. So for Christ's sake, our works are pleasing before God and acceptable in his holy sight. That blessed comfort of the gospel, the comfort of God's love for us, the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus, the comfort of his gracious answer to our prayers, the comfort of his presence with us at all times, the comfort of our resurrection to life everlasting, should fill your hearts with deep gratitude, a stronger faith in the Lord Jesus, and a greater love for him. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We thank thee, dear Heavenly Father, for the gift of saving faith, which is ours through the power of the gospel of Christ Jesus, our Savior. And with thankful hearts, as a fruit of our faith, we now place these offerings before thee and ask thee to bless them for thy work among us. Amen. Let us rise to pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we give Thee our heartfelt thanks for the precious gift of Thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, whom Thou didst send that we might have everlasting life, and who to accomplish His work, innocently suffered in meekness and humility the afflictions of this life, took our sins and infirmities in His own body and bore them unto death upon the cross as our substitute. For this great salvation we glorify Thee, O Lord God, and sing forth the honor of Thy name. Send forth Thy word, O God, into all the world, that in the power of its sacred truth it may accomplish that whereunto Thou hast sent it, that sinners may be turned from their evil ways and find in their Savior the way of life to everlasting joy and happiness. Bless Thy church, and let it be a loving gathering of faithful believers, a people of faith and prayer, exercising their true religion in the performance of every kind and merciful deed. And to this end, open the hearts of men throughout our conference, that they may be filled with a desire to serve Thee in the pastoral office, and to be thoroughly trained for such work in our seminary, that under their leadership in future years, our congregations may continue to be led with the pure teachings of Thy holy word. We ask Thee graciously to bless Pastor Leitz in body, mind, and spirit, that he may, if it be Thy will, continue serving Thee and his congregation in Oak Park as a minister of Thine and as a faithful steward of Thy mysteries. Especially do we remember before Thee our brethren in Nigeria and Russia. Let them seek Thee and receive Thy gracious help and be mercifully delivered from all their distresses. Now, O Lord, keep us steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in Thy work day by day as we live our lives in this world, for as much as we know that in Thee our labor is not in vain. We ask all of these petitions in Jesus' name. And in his name we furthermore pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Lord God, our Heavenly Father, who by thy Son hast promised to give us whatsoever we shall ask in his name, we beseech thee, grant us the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may make known our requests unto thee in faithful prayer, and desire of thee only that which is well-pleasing to thee and for our spiritual and eternal benefit, being firmly assured that thou wilt hear and grant our requests. Help us to consecrate our lives and all that we are and have to thee, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We shall now sing verse 3 of hymn 457.